Good afternoon, everybody. Sir, I'm Nanaya Akusi from Texas Tech University, and I'm presenting on potassium application timing effects on cotton yield and then leaf tissue on the Texas Southern High Plains. So cotton is a major cash crop that is cultivated mainly for the fiber and then the seed oil. But one thing about cotton is that it is very sensitive to potassium deficiency compared to most other field crops. The reason being that potassium is required for the length yield, it is required for the fiber quality development, it is required for micronail strength, and then the length of the micronail. So potassium is very, very essential in terms of cotton production. And in particular, during the boll field period, which is what the fiber is got from, cotton requires about 2.2 to 5 kilograms per hectare per day of potassium. So the research problem is that most soils in the Texas Southern High Plains are reported to be close to or greater than the critical value of Mehlich 3 soil potassium. And that critical value is 150 milligrams per kilogram. But then some studies have reported that cotton length responded to potassium fertilizer applications across the state. The reason why we see this is because cotton, there's been new varieties of cotton that have been developed since these critical values were assumed. Modern cotton varieties that have been developed, they are high yielding, they have shorter roots, they grow faster, like they have faster growing periods. So based on this and then other genetic modifications, the modern cotton varieties are not able to meet the potassium requirements of the soil. So there is also a study that talks about with potassium, the timing of it, that's the application. A study by Gomes in 2002, he found that when you're applying potassium to soil, if you apply it as a split application, about 150 kilograms per hectare, if you split it 50-50, you see a yield response. He found about 14% yield response to the potassium. But Pettigrew in 2003, he observed a 9% length yield increase when his total potassium was applied as pre-plant. So this led to our research objectives that we wanted to determine the yield response of two cotton varieties to potassium applied at 0, 90, and then 180 kilograms per hectare. And our timings were pre-plant and then a side dress and then split application. So what we mean by split application is we apply part of it during the pre-plant and then part of it during the in-season. And then our second objective was to determine the soil potassium concentrations at two depths in our soils. So we had a 0 to 15 centimeters and then 15 to 30 centimeters. And we were using the Mehlich 3 soil extractants. So these are our study locations. We have two. The first one is La Mesa in Texas. The soil type there is an Amarillo fine sandy loam. And then the method of irrigation was a subsurface drip irrigation. Then we have Lubbock, Texas. The soil type there is an Alton clay loam. And then the method of irrigation was a furrow irrigation. And these two locations are about 62 miles apart. So this is table characterizing our soils before planting. And my focus here is on the potassium concentrations in the soil. We did it at three depths, 0 to 15, 15 to 30, and then 30 to 60 centimeters. And if you look at the potassium concentrations and then look at the critical value for cotton, you see our soils had enough, more than enough of the potassium that is required. And this is for our first location. If you look at our second location, which is the Texas A&M AgriLife Research Station, the soil also had high amount. This had been higher than our La Mesa location, 489, 395, and then 351 milligrams per kilogram of potassium. And if you compare that to the critical value, you could see we have enough potassium in the soil. So our methodology, our study was designed as a randomized complete block with six replications. We have treatment combination. We have rates, which was 0, 90, and then 180 kilograms per hectare. And the potassium source was potassium thiosulfate as a 0025. Our application timing, as I said, we had a pre-plant, which was before planting. We have side dress, which was in season, and then we have a split application. And in our situation, we did 40% of the split at pre-plant and then 60% at side dress, that is during the season. And then we have two cotton varieties, DP1518 and then DP1612. And then our irrigation for the season, the first two, that is the pre-plant and in season, that is for the sub-drip, and then the furrow had 224 millimeters. So the sub-drip had about 190 millimeters. And this is a table of our list of activities throughout the growing period. We had pre-plant fertilizer application all the way through harvesting. So the times that we did our side dressing, our planting, and then we also looked at the leaf tissue soil potassium, leaf tissue potassium concentration, just to see if our tissues responded to our potassium rates that were applied. So looking at it from planting in April all the way through harvesting in November. And then we measured our yield, and then we analyzed our data using the ProGlimix in SARS version 9.4. So to my results and discussion. So we separated our varieties to look at the length yield because there was treatment by variety interaction. So for Lubbock, which is on the left, we clearly see that the 180 kilogram per hectare side dress application led to significantly greater length yield compared to our control. And then when we look at Lamisa, we found that the 90 kilogram per hectare pre-plant application over here rather led to significantly greater length yield than our control. And if you look also in Lamisa, we found our 180 kilogram per hectare didn't really do well. And our explanation for that is we might have probably missed our period that the cotton wanted the potassium most. That's the time that we applied the side dress and then the split. We might have missed the period that the cotton required the potassium the most. So probably that's why we found that our 180 kilogram really didn't do well in Lamisa. For the DP1612, as I said, we found differences in only the DP1518. So for the DP1612, we didn't find differences, or we didn't find a yield response to the treatments that were applied. And this was across the locations, but we didn't get a good yield in that variety. So to my in-season soil data analysis. So the method, as I said, is the millet tray, and then we looked at the two depths, 0 to 15, and then 15 to 30 centimeters. So if you look at the graph on the left, that's the 0 to 15 centimeters, we could see that the 180 kilogram per hectare led to the significantly greatest soil K concentrations compared to our control. And if you look at the 15 to 30 centimeters, it was still the same. Our 180 kilogram per hectare had the highest K concentration in the soil at the 15 to 30 centimeter depth compared to our control. Now to our Lubbock soil. In our 0 to 15 centimeters and then 15 to 30 centimeters, we could see 0 to 15, 180 kilogram per hectare, also having the highest concentration, that's the highest K concentration in the soil compared to our control. But when we come to our 15 to 30 centimeters, we didn't see any differences between the treatments. So in conclusion, we found that our length yield differences were determined for our DP1518 at both locations, but not at the DP1612. And then we found that the 180 kilogram per hectare side dress application led to significantly greater length yield in Lubbock, whereas in Lamisa, the 90 kilogram per hectare led to the significantly greater length yield. For our soil K concentrations, we found that 180 kilogram per hectare led to the significantly greater soil K concentration in both locations. And then I didn't present the data on the fiber quality and then the leaf tissue concentration because we didn't find differences between those treatments. So yeah, I didn't put it up there. And then we repeated our study this year, and we just harvested our Lubbock location about 2 days ago. That was Saturday before we came here on Sunday. So hopefully when we go back, we're going to analyze the data and see if there will be response to our treatments this year. So I would like to acknowledge my graduate committee, my major professor, Dr. Kitty Lewis, who is sitting in there, Dr. Gailey Morgan, Dr. Glenn Ritchie, Dr. Sanji Depp, who is also here, and then Dr. Richard Stevens. Then the corporate bodies that funded this research, the IPNI, Texas State Support, Cotton Incorporated, and then Fluid Fertilizer Foundation, and Damit Sulfur. And then the personnel, Dustin Kelly, Colton Crowell, Parker Lewis, Corbin Hensler, and then Gonda Zulu, all of Texas Tech University and then Texas A&M AgriLife Research Station. Thank you, and questions are welcome.
Questions?
Okay, so we did our pre-plan 0 to 15 and then 15 to 30. And with our in-season, we had to do hand sampling. And, you know, the proof is a lot of work. And we did this plot by plot. So we decided to focus just on those two depths because, one, that is the depth that the cutting roots go to. And, I mean, with respect to where to, it's difficult to even go to the 30 centimeters. But then, the most important factor of those two depths is because the potassium is found within those depths, and then the cotton root also grow up to that 0 to 30 centimeters. So, yeah.
Questions?
Yes?
Yeah, you said that there was a 1.2
minimum kilogram. Yeah, that's the critical value, yeah.
Looks like both locations twice that much.
No, this is the standard.
The 150, right? How would you assume at least 150? I mean, this is the critical value. That is the test, the amount of potassium that you have to have in your soil
for
this crop. So this is the standard that this is for being tested in our soil.
Plant available
potassium in our soil.
So that's the question.
Okay.
What do I mean? So it's way.
Yeah.
Why apply when not more than enough?
Yeah, that is what we are saying, that we, based on studies that we read and publications and research that people have done, cotton is responding to potassium fertilizer rate. So our soils or our recommendation or whatever is recommended by the soil fertility expert is that if you have this amount, you don't have to apply. Yes, we test more than this, and then still when we apply, we sometimes see respond to our rate. So definitely there's the need to evaluate this. Probably you have to adjust this, and as I explained, modern cotton varieties have different genetics than the ones that were in use when these recommendations were made. So yeah, we will need to probably evaluate and maybe increase the critical value.
I have one further question to build on that, just a quick one. But you know, given the fact that you did see responses at levels much higher than the critical value, what do you say to the possibility that sulfur from the KTS was responsible?
I don't have an idea much about potassium and sulfur relationship, so I wouldn't like commit myself and say,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Sulfur was so.
Okay.
I'll probably read more about it and get back to you on that.
Okay, continuing the same question, when you have so much potassium in your soil, then the recommended rate, which is quite impressive, it's a loss of buildup potassium in the soil, seems like that. How do you get the response then? What's your answer for that? I mean, you still got the response.
Yeah.
But where the potassium is that potassium is leaching, which is impossible in Texas? where the potassium is going then?
It's potassium, you know, it gets fixed in soil. And that is part of the objectives of my research. So based on, if you are looking at sampling of soil to determine potassium concentration, there are so many factors that are coming to it. Your clay mineralogy, and time of even sampling, temperature, they all influence potassium that is available, plants available at any point in time. So at the point that we are sampling, this is what we are getting. We applied our potassium throughout a period, and growing period, we saw a response. It could be that there are other dynamics in the soil that are influencing the release and then the fixation, let's say the lockup of it.
Thank you. I have to cut off the questions at this point. You can discuss. There is a break coming up, at which time you'll have an opportunity to discuss. But please join me in thanking Nana Yokuzi.